Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 14th day of May 2018. Today is a very special day. As you know, most people are probably glued to the news on television, as in Jerusalem, Israel today, there have already been a number of speakers that have spoken about the transfer of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. We know it is the 70-year anniversary of Jerusalem. We also know that the Iran deal has been nixed, which has brought forth a great provocation in that area. And while the stage has been set and the president has spoken by video, and Jared and Ivanka Trump have been there live, along with many other dignitaries speaking about what is happening in Jerusalem today, outside of that area at the Gaza Strip border, there have been over 37 Palestinians killed today by snipers, and over 900 have been wounded or injured in some way. And so a very dichotomous day, and our job is to sit back and really seek to get the wisdom of God, the understanding of what is happening. As Mr. Netanyahu has just said on television, that this is a historic day. Remember this day. Something huge is happening in the world today. And when we look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, really, we together have got to come up with an understanding what is happening today. I mean, today, again, 70 years ago, today, 70 is a big number. 70 years ago, today, the United Nations, all the documents were ratified. Israel was bona fide to be a nation, and all the people began to come back as the door was open. And here we are 70 years later. Now, 20 years approximately in 1967, we know there was the Six-Day War, the miraculous Six-Day War, where Israel fought for its independence against neighboring communities that wanted to destroy them. But they were established in 1967, and that's why we're in this double jubilee season. 1967 to 2017 was 50 years, but now we're in the 70-year anniversary when it all really began. And it's quite provocative in a sense to the Palestinian world and violence. Turkey's not so happy about this, and other, you know, big nations in the Middle East. Iran, obviously unhappy with the United States. But it's almost Donald Trump said, who cares if you're unhappy or not? You know, who cares about your happiness. We are moving forward. And the thing that always gets you when this type of movement is done is, you know, this 7-year peace treaty that everybody talks about. It. Are you aware of the 7-year peace treaty that will be made between the Antichrist and the Israeli people? And then 3.5 years into it, halfway through it, that peace treaty will be broken. The Antichrist will go into the temple, will sit and portray himself to be God, or his God is God, whether it be Allah or whoever it may be. And so peace treaties are always a bit unnerving. There have been many of them. Many of them have failed. There's been no peace in the Middle East. And a lot of people are saying that until the Prince of Peace is positioned rightfully, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace. He is peace. He is the peace of God, the genuine peace of God. And not until he is throned and enthroned over Israel, over the United States, over the Arab nations of the earth, will there ever be real peace. So what kind of peace is everybody pushing for if they want to maintain their Judaism, they want to maintain their Islam, they want to maintain, you know, different religious ideologies, and, you know, through religion, they're going to try to force peace? I don't see that happening. And I'm not trying to be, you know, an antagonist to things, nor a killjoy to what's happening. But I actually look at what's happening right now as more of a prophetic sign as to the rushing in of end time prophecies, the acceleration. Now, are these things part of God's end time reality? You know, is God involved in seeing the United States of America bring its embassy into Israel? Is God applauding this? Is this God's move? Is God happy in celebrating this 70-year anniversary of Israel because they have been a nation and they've been ratified, bona fide, situated, established as a nation? You know, are these things from the heavenly perspective what is bringing joy to the Father's heart? Is he initiating these things? Is he utilizing Donald J. Trump to establish some purpose that is connected to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because remember, everything on this planet ultimately is either in agreement with or in conflict with the kingdom of God, or the kingdom that God gave to his son, Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus and the Father, they are one. And so is this all complementary to that idea? Is Jesus being exalted in Jerusalem today? Is Yeshua being exalted? I mean, we hear the speeches. We hear a lot of talk about the righteous. We hear a lot of talk about God bless Israel. God bless. You know, we've heard speeches everywhere with God blessing, but there hasn't been the politically incorrect statements yet about may Yahweh bless us through Yeshua, his son, the savior of the world. You see, there is still the politically incorrect conversation that allows for any leader to say the name Jesus. Now, that concerns me. I don't know if it concerns you. Maybe I'm being a little bit too rigid, but I do know in the last days that many will be deceived by the events that are going on in the world. There's going to be a tremendous amount of trickery, smoke and mirrors everywhere. And so when I look at the Bible, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so any administration, anybody that just uses the name God, we don't know if it's the God of Buddha. We don't know if it's the God of Ishmael. We don't know, you know, if it's just, you know, they're referring to Yahweh God. But God said, if you don't receive my son, you don't have the Father. Whoever denies the Son, this is in 1 John, whoever denies the Son denies the Father. Whoever does not have the Son has not the Father. And so when we look at all this politically correct, energized stuff, I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Yeshua to be the exalted Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, over what is being accomplished. And if he's not being exalted as the one that gives peace, well, then I wonder. And I wonder if you wonder. And I wonder if my wonderment is a problem to those of you who aren't wondering. You know, am I just a spoiler? I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to be extremely cautious. And I wonder what is happening right now before our eyes. Right now, Pastor John Hagee from Kufi. You know who John Hagee is. He is on television right now. He's speaking in Jerusalem. So they've had Pastor Jeffers, which is awesome. I love Pastor Jeffers. He was one out of eight ministers who stood in the Oval Office about a year ago before the eyes of the world. He's the only one that used the name Jesus. And so whether or not they're allowed to use the name Jesus or Yeshua in this gathering, I don't know. We're going to have to go back and listen to their speeches. But I would certainly hope that they would extol the name of Yeshua. And so this is very important to find out how John Hagee, how Pastor Jeffers is addressing this crowd of Muslims and Jews and Americans if he is permitted to use that name. I want to know. And if they are, if they have the guts to use the name of Yeshua to bring lordship in Jerusalem and let Jerusalem know that your king is not just King David, but it's from the loins of David came your king Yeshua, who died for the sins of your nation, and that you have a Messiah. And rather than belittling him, hating him, making laws in Israel against him, or the conversion or people that are trying to convert people against the law, and promoting your homosexual agenda in Tel Aviv and allowing your cities of Israel once again to become Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what is this then? Is this a great big show? Are these pastors going to name the name of Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace? I hope so. That's what I'm looking for. I'm happy that Israel is 70 years old, but its conduct is a little bit misleading, quite frankly, as to their policy and their legislation and what they've allowed to take place. Yes, they are fighting in the middle. There are prophecies that they are going to be established. And yet, we look at Daniel chapter 12 is where I'd like to begin. And I want a conversation with you today. I really want to know what you, the Christian body of Christ, what you're thinking about this moment. And I hope that we don't come to a place where you're saying, well, I really don't know anything about what's going on, and I'm really not concerned about it because, you know, my life is really important. No, there is something important happening right now, and we just need to rightly divide it. We need to understand it and hope that this is really the hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and heaven is involved with this. This is what we hope for, and we want to find that. I mean, out loud, it seems absolutely amazing. 70 years, that's a celebration. That's really cool. The days away from celebrating Pentecost, which originated in the city of Jerusalem, that's awesome. The countdown of the Omer. I mean, many of the Jews in Israel are counting the Omer, counting down to Shavuot, as they call it. And then, of course, we look at the U.S. Embassy being brought into Jerusalem, and we say, well, you know, how does that fit into Bible prophecy? And then you look at the word Jerusalem and you spell it J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. So is the USA in the heart of Jerusalem? Well, the embassy just moved there. And is there a divine connection to that? Maybe so. Maybe so. But I also know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even though there are new covenants, that the heart of God never changes. I mean, imagine God changing himself and becoming something other than what he's always been. Well, that would throw people off. No, what God has always been is who he is today. And regardless of the covenants that have come, God is the same. And he always deals with sin the same way he's always dealt with it before. If you're going to promote a Sodom and Gomorrah lifestyle and allow cities within your nation to house the homosexual community, well, you can expect God to respond the same exact way in Tel Aviv and to hold those accountable who are allowing it to happen to the line. I mean, that's just obvious, right? And so, the nation of Israel at this time, not all, many, in their government rejecting the lordship of the Messiah, Yeshua. Not mentioning his name. It is a curse if you mention his name in some Israeli homes, many of them, in fact. But then again, to those Jews that have come to faith and are believing in Messiah and understand the fulfillment of prophecy in this arena, there is a great joy. And I've been to Israel. I love the Israeli people. I believe that the, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I met a lot of Palestinians when I was there and a lot of Arabs. And unfortunately, these people are dry. They are very unhappy people, demonically possessed in many ways. in the barrenness of their soul because they have not received the Messiah. All they're engaged in is trying to make a day's living and get on with life, especially in the old city when you go to the different quarters. I mean, there's just an unclean spirit. There's no doubt there's an unclean spirit in that land, particularly among the Palestinian or the Islamic people or the Muslim people or the Arab people, however you want to call it. And you can see it in Bethlehem. You see it in Jerusalem. You can travel throughout Israel and see it everywhere. There's just these people are demonically possessed. I'm being very honest. They need to turn to faith in Jesus Christ. Like hundreds of thousands of Muslims from Afghanistan to Iran are converting to faith in Jesus Christ and getting born again and now having the river of life in them and beginning a new journey. That's what everybody needs. Now, the whole world needs to come under the authority, the lordship of the Messiah, Yeshua, because he's the lover of mankind. He's the giver of his life to all people everywhere, to Jerusalem first, and then to the ends of the earth. And so the message is found in Christ. The peace is found in Messiah. So what is it that they're wanting to bring peace? And it's such a dichotomy on the television screen because on the one side of the screen, you have this little meeting going on with all these dignitaries talking about a new peace plan, a new peace process. On the other side of the screen, there's fire, there's smoke, there's 37 people killed, 900 injured, there's violence, there's unrest. Well, who's going to calm everything down and in whose name are they going to calm it down? If you say God, the Jews are going to say, well, our God is Yahweh. And the Muslims are going to say, well, our God is Allah. Well, whose God are we talking about? Are they the same God? And if the same God, then why are they fighting each other? Now, there's only, you know, there's one Prince of Peace. His name is Yeshua. But I want to refer to a couple of passages in the scripture. The first one I'm going to look at is in Jeremiah chapter 30. It says in verse 7, alas, for that day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved. So the Bible talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. And in this context, in Jeremiah 30, it literally talks about he'll be brought out of it. The yoke of the adversary is going to be broken from off of him. And this moves into a more serene moment for the Israeli people who have turned to the living God. Now, but that's not what I think is happening right now, even though I do believe there's trouble with Israel. Jacob's been in trouble since he was born, by the way. How many of you know that? When it talks about the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob was in trouble from the day he grabbed his brother's heel in the womb. And then, of course, he tricked his dad. He ran to Uncle Laban. I mean, Jacob has been in trouble. His brother, he was contending with his brother Esau. He was terrified of him. And Jacob has had four wives and 12 boys and you name it. Jacob's always been in trouble, but there's a time of great trouble. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life. Now, I want to ask you a question. How do you get your name written in the book of life? How do you get your name written there? Okay. We've got to figure this out, right? There was a book of life going all the way back to the book of Exodus. And do you remember what that was? The book of life there? Let's take a look at that. I want to see the book of life in Exodus. I know it's around chapter 31 or so, but let's see. The book of life. God has a book of life. I think that's amazing. Out of the name, out of the book. Let's see. Out of the book, out of the book, out of the book. And we're going to go like this. We're going to go like this. And let's get to Exodus chapter 32. There it is. That's what I'm looking for. And so it says here, this is Moses interceding. And I'll pick it up in verse 30. Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. So God has a book. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't say specifically the book of life. However, there is a book of life, and we all know what that book is. And we find that in Revelation chapter 20, the book of life. And so here's what it says in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 15. Let's just pick it up right there. Well, let's go to verse 12. I think verse 12 is probably a great place to start. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Some people think it's Facebook. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to ask you a question. How do you get your name written in the book of life? How does that happen? Well, let's go look at another scripture in the book of Revelation, and let's go all the way back to Revelation chapter 2, because Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, let's start there. And this is a message to the church, Sardis, and this is what is said in verse 5. He that overcomes, now he's talking to those believers, this is obviously the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and here is the admonition. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So, if you overcome as a Christian in the church of Sardis, and let's see what they were dealing with. Go back to verse 1 of Revelation chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that thou hast a name, that you live and are dead. He's talking to the church. You have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you. Now, if the Lord Jesus is talking to the church and saying, I'm going to come on a thief, what's he going to steal? Well, verse 4, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So this is a church that was being defiled by the things of the world. And then he said that he that overcomes the defilement of that age, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. The blotting out of the name is how Jesus comes as a thief and he steals something. What is stolen? The name is out of the book of life. Those who were defiled have no idea that their names were blotted out because they've been defiled. And so they come at the last days and say, Lord, Lord, I know I'm saved. I'm saved by grace through faith. Yeah, but you're defiled. I don't know you. And their name is not found in the book of life. Where are they cast? Into the lake of fire. So again, getting back to the question, how does one get their name written in the book of life? Well, to me, my answer is simple. Your name is written in the book of life through your faith and your acceptance of God's mercy and grace that is in his Son, Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, and our sins are forgiven under the blood. We have been accepted, received. Our name was penned in the book of life. But what we just read is the reality that that very name for Christians whose names are in the book of life can be stolen or blotted out. God, all the way back in Exodus, blotted out the sinners out of a book. It did not say the book of life. I believe the book of life is for those who have found the eternal life that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the eternal Spirit of God given them. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the eternal Spirit living on the inside of you, well, you don't have eternal life. And if you had the eternal Spirit of God dwelling in the inside of you, you just read one little verse, how that eternal Spirit can be grieved or quenched or your name blotted out, which means there's separation because you've allowed the defilement of the world to come in and stain and defile your garment of salvation. And only those who walk worthy of the Lord, who keep their garments clean, will maintain their name in the book of life. I know we live in an age where everybody says everybody's saved. I mean, everybody's name is in the book of life. But what about this issue about not being found in it? What about that? Does it fit into our theology, into our doctrine? I mean, are there a lot of defiled Christians who, or a lot of people who call themselves Christians who have defiled their garment of salvation because they have a theology that once saved, you're always saved, and it doesn't matter how you live, even if you live in the flesh, it's going to be okay? Well, let's talk about living in the flesh for just a moment. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and see what the Bible says about living in the flesh. And let's compare this to the ideas that people have about going to heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Are there fornicators in the body of Christ? You bet there are. "Nor idolaters." Are there idolaters in the body of Christ? You bet there are. "Nor adulterers." Are there adulterers in the body of Christ? You bet there are. "Nor effeminate," meaning homosexual, lesbian. Are there in the body of Christ? Churches have opened their doors everywhere. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind," which really I think is getting down to bestiality, which was an issue among the people in the days where the Torah was given in the laws, because it has a whole lot to say about having sex with animals. Does it exist in the church today? You bet it does. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners." None of them, the writer of the New Testament, Paul here says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So when one is washed, when one is sanctified, when one is justified, they no longer live that lifestyle. And yet we have a gospel today saying, well, we could come into the church, live that lifestyle, but we're under grace, so it doesn't matter. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we were once that, but we were washed, we were justified and sanctified, and therefore, you know, that's not our condition of life anymore. But is that all the Bible has to say about this issue? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, listen very carefully, for it is written there in verse 33, "Awake to be not deceived." Again, Paul writes, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." So in other words, if you're hanging out with somebody that's defiled, you better be careful because you're going to get defiled with them. If you hang out with somebody because you want something from them or they add something to your whatever, but they're not clean in their spirit, their uncleanness will come on you. And I guarantee you there are many unclean people in the house of God that have not yet repented nor confessed their uncleanness publicly or even privately so that the Spirit of God can begin to work out of them that uncleanness. There are people that have unclean attitudes, unclean thoughts, unclean ways, unclean conduct. They have unclean words coming out of their mouth. And when I tell you, if you hang out with them long enough, their spots will get on your garments. Their blemishes will get on your robe. And, you know, Jesus said it this way. If you want to save somebody that's defiled, okay, then you have to go to the book of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation. And here's how Jude said it. He said in verse 17 in the book of Jude, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Okay? "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now listen, verse 22, this is key. "And of some have compassion," making a difference, "and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So what is he saying here? There are some people that you want to pull out of the fire. There are some people you want to bring into salvation, but you do it with a disdain, a hatred for their spotted garments, their garments that are spotted by the flesh. In other words, their fleshly carnal lives should be such a distaste to your spirit because the Holy Spirit will have nothing to do with corrupt flesh. The only thing that corrupt flesh is to do is to die. On the cross, we are to put off that old corrupt human nature and put on the new nature of God that is given us in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to go back to Daniel, but yeah, that was just a little bunny trail, if you will, of this book of life. Why? Because in Daniel, again, it opens with this idea that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And it talks about this time of trouble, and it talks about a people that will be delivered, whoever is found written in the book. Okay. How did your name get in the book of life? Was it not through your faith in Jesus Christ? I mean, there are books about everybody's life. Everybody's life has been written down. Every act that every person has ever lived out, there has been a book of remembrance. There has been a book. You know, I hear people in our generation all the time saying, what are you doing, taking notes about my rights and wrongs? Well, I'm not, but God is. Everything we say, everything we do, every attitude of the heart, every thought we think, everything that we are is being recorded. Whether you or I like that idea, the fact of the matter remains, we are being recorded. Every act behind closed doors, everything that is being done out of the view of men is being viewed by angels, demons, and those that have the books. That's why at the end of life, everybody's life is going to come before them and their book is going to be opened. And if you have confessed your sin, and I have, and received the atonement, much of what has been written against us has already been blotted out. And all we have is the name written in the book of life, salvation, and the good things that we have done as we have moved forward. Well, for those who have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, they think their good deeds are going to far outweigh their human nature. That's not going to happen. So I have to believe that the book of life, the name written in it, can only be through Jesus Christ, because even good people. See, I believe Abraham believed in the Messiah, Yeshua, actually spoke of him. Jesus said he did. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. I believe Moses knew of the Messiah to come. And I believe even though Messiah had not yet come and made an atonement for the sins of the people, that there were people looking for the true Messiah. Now, how God is going to deal with those that were before the cross is God. You know, that's whatever he chooses to do. But our generation is not before the cross. We're 2,000 years down the road. And the cross of Christ has been preached in all the world, except maybe a sliver of humanity that has not heard it. But one of the signs of the times is that the gospel would be preached to the ends of the earth. So getting back to Daniel chapter 12 and looking at what's going on in Jerusalem today, he says there's going to come a time of trouble that has never been before. Listen how he says it. He said, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time. That sounds eerily close to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, how that then shall be great tribulation, as was not since the beginning of the world, even to this time, nor ever shall be. So great trouble, great tribulation, is what both Daniel and Yeshua, the Messiah, spoke of at the end of the ages, prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to lay claim to what is rightfully his and to be exalted by heaven itself as the King of glory, whom we will worship and praise as the true Prince of Peace when his government comes into this earth. You can't have corrupt government calling for peace. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of corruption in government today. There's a lot of trickery, a lot of spellbinding powers. a lot of smoke and mirrors. But to those who have their eyes and their ears and their head in the scriptures, you realize that a government that murders the innocent babies, the government that promotes the licentious lifestyle that God condemns, is not a government that has any authority to bring peace into this world. It'll never happen. But again, I'm playing the antagonist, aren't I? Well, for those of you that are listening to the broadcast today, I want to give you an opportunity before I go any further to weigh in on what you believe is happening in Israel today. Your thoughts about what is taking place in the world today, because there is a massive event going on in Jerusalem. And what we're wanting to do together is to rightly divide and to understand clearly what is it that is happening on this very unique day as far as end time prophecy is concerned. And again, there were some great speakers going on, and we had some good pastors there. I absolutely have a tremendous amount of respect for Pastor Jeffress. He's the only one out of eight that used the name of Jesus in the Oval Office, as I said earlier. But what are you hearing today? What are you hearing? What's happening? We're going to end this broadcast in about 25 minutes. Patricia Joy will continue on. Then we've got a super busy day today. Some deliverance that has to take place and some work that has to go on. The news will continue throughout the day talking about this historic moment. But what's happening? 37 Palestinians killed so far today. 900 or so wounded. What's going on in our world today? Is this something that's leading to the millennial kingdom? Or is this something that is leading to the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth through the provocations that are happening around the world? Is Bible prophecy being fulfilled and unfolding before our eyes? Where are we? What's happening? I continue on in the book of Daniel in this prophecy. And again, we talk about many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and that they that turn many to righteousness. Now, what righteousness? The righteousness of Christ, Jesus, not self-righteousness. I mean, you've got people speaking about righteousness that reject the Messiah. Jared Kushner, no matter how Jewish he is, he has rejected the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Messiah and has converted his wife, Ivanka, to Judaism. Now, if they get born again, if they begin to confess Yeshua, the Messiah, well, praise the Lord. But again, they who have not the Son have not the Father. And if they don't have the Father, but they keep saying, God bless, what God are they referring to? They may think it's the God, but if you don't have the Father, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. What does that mean? Why did John write that in his epistle? He who has not the Son hath not the Father. He is Antichrist. What? Wait a second. Does the Bible actually say that? That he is Antichrist? Well, let's take a look and see. Well, I'm reading right here, and it says in verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2, my God, can it actually say that? Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Wow. That's pretty amazing. I mean, have you stopped to consider what's being said by the Apostle John? Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Everybody that denies that Jesus is the Christ is a liar. Come on. He is Antichrist. He is Antichrist? You mean all of these big worldly gatherings where the admiration of the world is looking from the far ends of the earth? And we see the red, white, and blue, and the light blue and white of Israel being come together, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, and John said they are a liar? Could this be the end time deception? Could this be the father of lies projecting an ideology of religion, Americanism, and Judaism joining together, but nobody willing to name the name of Yeshua as the Messiah? Listen, I'm all about Israel, the true Israel of God. I am all about Israel. I believe that the true Israel of God are those who have faith and place their trust in Yeshua, the Messiah. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God has a very special place for Israel, but I also know that that place is the breeding ground where the Antichrist in the last days, will actually go into the very temple in Jerusalem and declare his God, which I believe they will proclaim Allah to be God. Because of the great tribulation that is spoken of in Scripture that is to come in Israel, in Jerusalem, and around the world. That's what Revelation 13 is all about. We're marching towards that moment. Are we being wowed or deceived by the energy, by the charisma of this moment? Or are we watching carefully, listening carefully to the speeches, to what is being said? Are we finding the exaltation of the Son? That's my only question. Are we being too narrow-minded, being too rigid? Folks, the days we're living in right now, if you're not being narrow-minded and you're not being rigidly righteous, you're going to have a difficult time surviving the times that are coming. In fact, the deception will be so great that many will actually receive the mark of the beast and fall away from the truth of God and think that they're okay, because deception makes people think that everything is all right. It makes them believe a lie. And do you know that the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that God will send a strong delusion that they will believe a lie who had pleasure in unrighteousness and did not obey the gospel? So it's a beautiful day. It's a warm day. It's a wonderful day. People are celebrating the external reality of what's going on today. But is it real? Is Jesus being exalted? Or is he being denied his rightful place in this moment? Well, politically, we don't want to upset anybody, so we're not going to use the name Jesus or Yeshua, because, you know, we just don't want to offend anybody. Really? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Jesus said, if you deny me, then I'll deny you before the Father and the angels. He can't deny himself, obviously. But what are we watching today? I'm waiting to hear from you. I'm just out here almost on a limb today going, man, this is very unique. And I know that we're supposed to get on and cheer and wow, 70 years, birthday parties. How many of you have had a birthday party? It turns 70 and then the day's gone by and it's forgotten. Another feast is on the way, but a couple of days later, it'll be forgotten unless God moves powerfully in a demonstrative way upon a people that are his ecclesia, his bone of his bone, his flesh of his flesh. I'm kind of wanting to stir a conversation with Christians around the world about this moment in time. What are we looking at? What are we viewing? And I could take the position of somebody calling in and say, oh, Pastor, come on. This is a great moment in the history of the world. For the first time, Israel and the United States are sealing their bonds in such a long time. And, USA is right in the middle of the word Jerusalem, J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. Come on, this is a connection moment. And things are going to work themselves out into a glorious crescendo of Israel, the United States, and democracy. And then we're going to name the name of Jesus. You know, we just don't want to do it now because we don't want to disrupt things. Well, I got news for you. Things are already disrupted. Things are already being stoked in the fire, provocative moves like ending the Iran deal, which should be done. I'm proud that it was done. Believe me, I thank God for the provocations. I do, because you got to do what's right. But I can't imagine anything being more right than exalting the name of God's Son. And until that is done, you have to be suspicious about everything. In other words, you have to journey carefully in our excitement. In our joy, there's you have to understand there's something lurking, watching from the thicket, that if you get overwhelmed and caught into something that is not exalting Jesus, there may be a problem with it. These are the days we live in. I'm more excited about a person getting born again than I am about what's going on in Jerusalem right now. When one sinner repents, the Bible says, when one sinner repents, all the angels in heaven rejoice. I'm not so sure that all the angels in heaven are rejoicing over a political move in Israel today. I'm just not sure about it. An Israel that has rejected the place of the Messiah. Not all, but many. I rejoice with what God rejoices in, righteousness. Show me a land where it's against the law of God to murder innocent babies and shed innocent blood, where it is against the law of that nation to be complementary to the law in the mind of their God of righteousness. Don't declare righteousness and then allow unrighteousness to be in your legislation. You see, this is borderlining hypocrisy and holding the hand of deception. The angels rejoice. What God rejoices is when a sinner repents. They want to form a peace treaty. The president wants to use the art of the deal. He said in his campaign, the biggest move of my administration will be to make a deal in the Middle East. Don't try to do it without Jesus, because it may be the very deal that the Bible has spoken of in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. About a peace treaty that will be brought to solve problems. Are there problems coming? Yes. Those problems could break out today. War could break out this week. Massive war. Terrorism could be sparked around the world. In Europe, in the United States, in Israel. Prophecies of these things are everywhere. Volcanoes blowing, earthquakes rising. Woke up this morning, right here in good old Arkansas, 2,200 earthquakes in the past couple of years. But the geologists are saying, man, they're getting bigger and larger. The earth is convulsing. The signs of the heaven have been declaring red alert signals for years now. What are we listening to? What are we watching? What are we feeling? Again, the line is open. 818-369-0326. All you need to do is press 1 on the dial pad. What are your thoughts? Oh, Pastor Vince, you're just such a killjoy. Oh, Pastor Vince, you know, you're always so negative. Oh, Pastor Vince, you're always drawing this scene of, no, it's not true. I'm not always like that, dear friends. That's anything but the truth. The truth of the matter is that we know that there is an acceleration of end time prophecy, and we know that God is doing something in the world today to accelerate his kingdom advancement. His kingdom advancement. If you love Israel, if you're a lover of Israel, pray for their salvation, which is Yeshua, to be received and accepted by them. But understand that in the last days, there's going to be many false messiahs, many false Christs, many religions, and they're actually going to attempt to unite in a world religion. And messages like these will be extremely antagonistic to what they are wanting to accomplish. How narrow is the gate that leads to life? How broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction? I'm searching out the matter. I've come to zero conclusions yet, but I'm stacking Bible scriptures on my side. I want to know what the Word of God says, because we're looking at a historical moment. But what is really happening? What is actually taking place today in Jerusalem? In Zimbabwe, Africa, a man just got born again. A preacher went and told him the good news about Jesus. He fell down on his face, confessed Jesus Christ. A supernatural miracle came and healed his body. He's praising God, and all the angels in heaven are rejoicing over that soul that was just saved in Zimbabwe. I'm not so sure that all the souls in heaven are rejoicing with what's going on in Israel. And I'd like for you to convince me that maybe, you know, something. Number to call is 818-369-0326. Man, the lines are just absolutely lit up, but nobody's pressing one on the dial pad yet. And so I'm wondering, what are you thinking? What's going on? How are you metabolizing this? Or what are you chewing on? I mean, are you stuck? Are you not sure? Do you want to say something, but you don't want to be antagonistic to what I'm saying? It's okay. Believe me when I tell you it's okay. I am a seeker of the truth. I am searching it out on Monday morning. After a very, very wonderful weekend, I'm just searching it out. You know, what is the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I expect, in my spirit, massive violence to break out. But I also don't think it's going to happen when everybody's expecting it. Like right now, security forces are higher than ever. They're expecting it. The Bible says it will come when you least expect it. So it may be that all of these things that are happening in motion will spread out a little bit further, and things will settle down. And at a moment when you least expect it, like on 9/11/2001, suddenly disaster will come. But we sense this time something much larger than what happened on 9/11/2001. Let's take a call today coming in for Pastor Ken Wagner. And Ken, thanks for calling into the program today. How are you?
Well, Pastor, I'm doing fine. Praise the Lord. You know, you covered a lot of areas and, you know, worldwide and so on. And yes, that is something that we need to be aware of. But I think the greatest thing that we need to be aware of that you talked about is having our names in the book of life, and then getting ourselves cleaned up. Man, that's a major task. That's a change, because nobody likes to rock the boat, so to speak. You've heard me say that before. Everybody likes the status quo. Everybody goes along with the big numbers and does everything just to please everybody else. But that's not what God wants. That's not what Jesus spoke about. We need to go ahead and really concentrate more than anything else on ourselves, getting ourselves cleaned up, ready to receive whatever is coming down. Yes, we can be aware of the world situations, but it's much more important from my perspective to be cleaned and ready to go and be able to listen to the Holy Spirit and do what God wants done on this earth. Then we can be effective. Otherwise, we're just spinning our tops, so to speak. We need to be effective in these end times, to be one with Christ and know what he wants done, so that we can be able to help not only ourselves, but each other and all those around us as well. So it's a time where the church has to really wake up and do what God has asked us to do.
Well, amen to that, Pastor Ken. Amen to that. And it's all about preparation and keep ourselves clean, our garments unspotted from the world. This is true religion. It says in the book of James that true religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans and keeping our beings unspotted from the world. And what we're looking at today is something that's happening in the world. It's obviously a huge event. It's a big day, but also careful examination would have people, you know, thinking twice before just jumping in. And I think that's very important. In fact, they're talking about the two terror attacks that just happened in Europe over the weekend that were ISIS related, supposedly. Here's my prediction, and this is just something I believe to be true. I believe that June gloom in the United States of America, I believe this moment's going to pass. I think some things are going to settle around and about. They're going to morph into. Things are going to happen. I know Donald Trump is going to be meeting with Kim Jong-un. Again, a very bizarre event that's happening. I believe it's on June 12th with Kim Jong-un meeting with the president. And Kim now is ready to give up centuries of his forefathers' communist ideologies. He's going to lay it all down. He's going to put an end to nuclear weapons. North Korea, South Korea are going to be friends. North Korea is going to do business with the world, and it's all over. Again, this is very bizarre. I believe my prediction, June gloom, terrorism in the United States will explode throughout this land. You know, is that something we hope for? Not necessarily hoping for it, but I can't fathom that this moment is as real as it's being pointed out to be. I rejoice in the true Israel of God that has found the Messiah. I pray for those who have been blinded, that they too will be grafted in, and hopefully that the Holy Spirit will guide their souls into their Messiah, Yeshua. I do pray for that. I pray for Israel. I pray for the Jews that have become Christians, who have been born again and are no longer Jew and Gentile, but have been born into Christ, have a new nature given to them. I believe in the heavenly Jerusalem. I believe in the Jerusalem above. I believe in the spiritual reality of being born again, and that's happening to all people everywhere around the world. And I'm more concerned about the outward appearance of things, the dress, if you will, of all these events. But Pastor Ken, I have kind of run out of time here today, as always. Do you have a final thought you'd like to share?
Yes, Pastor. I really believe that in the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all the problems that are going on in this world, each and every one of us could still be a voice in the turmoil, just like John the Baptist was. And that's up to each and every one of us to choose, as God has asked us to do.
Amen. Amen. Well, having said that, there's not much more to say. Up next will be Patricia Joy. I'm going to leave you with just a little one that Keith Green sang about Jesus. You are the one. We'll see you tomorrow.
daylight, 'cause you are the life I want.
Hello.
And you gave your life for me.
Hello, 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 hello. How are you today? Well, that was provocative and I think necessary. I praise God that Pastor Vincent causes us to think. You know, we could go along in this direction and that direction and wonder all about it, but really not understand one thing that is truly going on in the heart of God. But guess what? We have the mind of Christ, and we should be able to receive what is necessary for the moment, even in prophetic utterance. But hallelujah, truth is something which exists even if a large percentage of the world's population has no perception of such things. And however, all are invited to search out what truth is and receive its wisdom. And we do so in Christ Jesus, if in fact we have his mind. Do we have the mind of Christ, which has been promised? And so we're talking about Jerusalem right now in the news. Unbelievable. Which means, Jerusalem means possession of peace. And is always the city, or is and always will be the city of the great King, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is scripturally sound. When Jesus the Messiah returns, may his praise be found in you and I. That is what we really need to know. Little history. King David established Jerusalem in 1049 BC. Not to mention God's plans centuries earlier when he gave Abram a promise about a great nation which would come through him and through this. All peoples of the earth would be blessed because of Abram. That's a promise. And it's a promise to us too. Know ye not that we are grafted in to Abraham's seed, who is, of course, Jesus Christ himself. This blessing has come to the earth, and the only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, has fulfilled this promise for Jew and Gentiles alike. And all are invited to partake in the new covenant through the cross of Calvary and Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. All can do so. The cry is, come one and all. Now is the time to worship him who so loved the world, the Holy One of Israel. And the exact coordinates, which are much larger than what defines Israel on the maps of today, is found in Numbers 34, 1 through 12. This was spoken by God himself. And these boundary markers that we're seeing today will once again come to pass as God makes it sovereignly known and mighty clear, yet to come. It's coming, folks. Scripture is being fulfilled. The promise, when the full numbers of the Gentiles have come into the shelter of the new covenant, Israel will be saved in like fashion through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's spoken of in Romans. Ezekiel 36 tells us of when the Jews will walk in the light after they enter their God-given land, when the times of the nation's powers are at their end. Leave it to God to sort the wheat and tares. Time to be on the side of the God of Israel, Yahweh, the only true God, the God of the Bible. We know and we have watched and seen that Jews are returning from the nations where he scattered them. There they will be cleansed in the land of Israel. What does cleanse mean? Cleanse means warfare. There they will be cleansed. Who? The Jews that have returned from the nations where he scattered them. There they will be cleansed in the land of Israel. God does not save you or anyone because they are great, only because he's the greatest. He is the greatest, and he's starting to prove that he is who he is now. This is the time where he will be revealed like no other time. And this scripture that I brought to you in Ezekiel 36, this scripture should help all those wondering if the Jews in Israel are real Jews, because they, like you, are not perfect yet. Something to think about. Ezekiel 36:22 says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel," listen carefully, "it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name." Yes, he's in vindication right now. The vindication has begun. "I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned, Israel, in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord." Hallelujah. "Declares the Lord God. When I prove myself holy among you in their sight, for I will take you from the nations." Has he not taken the people of Israel from the nations? "And I will gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land." Has he not done that also? "Then I," he says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." He's talking to those that have Israelis that have been scattered throughout the nation, but has come back to Israel. "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give health." That's his promise. And we're seeing the manifestation of prophecy right now taking place. Not that many understand and know the purpose for its being, but because God has prophesied it in Ezekiel 36, 37. And then we see the fulfillment of the purging in Ezekiel 38. Read it for yourself. Learn the will of the Father and the way we must go. So what do we do? Those of us who are watching prophecy being fulfilled this very moment, what do we do? How do we stand before the living God, the more powerful time in our history? Well, we need to get a hold of some concepts and ideas that will help us. And we were discussing Friday about angels. because angels are on assignment on our behalf right now. The angels of the living God, the powerful, glorious angels of the living God, but also the unholy angels, First Estate. And we have talked about angels coming even in human form. And I believe this will be a time of excitement, that when we see individuals that are acting in a certain manner of great helpfulness and reaching a hand out, we may be seeing angels in human form and not know it. But angels can appear in human form. It's in the scripture. And do you recall the incident in Genesis of the three angels who talked with Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah? Two of these angels in human form went to Sodom and Gomorrah and were insulted by the deviants of those cities when homosexual advancements were made toward them. Why? Because they're so beautiful and handsome. There is little doubt that these angels appeared in the image of man. Of course, their insults mattered little to the angels because they were angels of God. They knew who they were, powerful, great, mighty, because with the power vested in them by God, they could at any time have wiped away the meager power of Satan. And it is still true today. And as you know, once they removed Lot and his immediate family from Sodom, according to the will of God, they obliterated the sinful inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah from the face of this earth, and you still cannot find it in Iraq today. It's still that way. Has never been rebuilt. The scriptures are so powerful. They're so true. They're so incredible. These scriptures were written thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And the scriptures tell us till today, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels. So we may at times be entertaining angels and not even be aware of it, except at a glimmer, at a moment in time, they're not there all of a sudden. Or they have done something remarkable on our behalf or said something incredible on our behalf. And we are thinking we're talking to human beings. And all along they have showed up and they are angels. And then you can't find them. Where they go? Happened to me. I understand the works of this, and others I know who have. I recall once walking in Mexico City, beautiful day. I was ready to step off a high curb into the street, and all of a sudden I was pulled up on the sidewalk. I couldn't put two and two together. It was weird and strange. And all of a sudden, I felt my dress being literally touched by a great wind. What happened was a car went by and skimmed me so close that it was a hairline. And it was going at great speed, and I could have been totally and completely killed. And I was not. And I knew something supernatural lifted me off of that curb. When I had my Christian bookstore in Rancho Bernardo, California, I was murmuring to myself about some things that were going on. Person all of a sudden was standing before me and said to me, "Do not be concerned about perfecting this bookstore in everywhere you're placing it. Do not try to perfect in that way." And I was doing that just before this individual came and spoke to me. Be more concerned about your own life and the perfection of your spirit, mind, and soul. And I was listening and shaking my head. Oh, yeah. Because that very thing is, I was concerned about the layout of the bookstore, which you would think rightly so. And I went down to get her something. I forgot what it was, a book or something, to hand it to her. And all of a sudden, there was nobody there. I ran out of the door, turned to the left, turned to the right. She wasn't there. I looked across the way. It was in seconds. And the Lord put it upon my heart. You have entertained an angel unaware. So the scripture tells us, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. You never know when it could be an angel. For by this some have entertained angels. And without knowing it, just be very sure you know which kind of angels you are welcoming, whether they are holy or unholy. And you can only do that by discernment of spirit. And you could only have discernment of spirit by receiving the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit by asking our Lord Jesus Christ to come and baptize you in the Holy Spirit, whereby you are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit contains these gifts. And by being baptized by the Holy Spirit, these gifts are available to you. And one of the greatest gifts I believe mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 is the gift of discernment, of miracles and faith, interpretation of tongues and all of that. But the gift of discernment to me was the most important, though they're all important. This precious gift of discernment gives us discernment we need as to what is real and to what is not real, to what is good and to what is evil, to what is darkness and to what is light, not only in ourselves, not only in situations that occur, like what's going on in Israel right now, but also in others. And to determine whether or not that stranger was of the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirit. Because the unholy spirit comes as an angel of light, meaning it looks like absolute truth. But unless you have the absolute truth of the Holy Spirit residing in you, you can't know the difference. You will be deceived, as Pastor Vincent mentioned earlier. And this is a time of the great deception, of the dark kingdom versus the kingdom of light. But the dark kingdom comes as an angel of light, as truth. But it is deception. How do we know the difference? By really asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and make the difference by the gift of discernment, and ask for the other gifts too. They're available. So as God's, as the body of Christ, as his elect, we have, for the most part, remained in total ignorance of these things I'm speaking of. Not all. It seems as if no one wants to talk about the vital knowledge, the vital knowledge, not just ideas of religiosity, but vital knowledge. Many of us have casually acknowledged that one third of all angels created by God fell with Satan. We hear it now and then, and it's knowledgeable understanding in Scripture, but we don't really focus on it. Many of us believe that their avowed purpose is to deceive and destroy the body of Christ on earth. And that is absolutely what I believe. But it's not talked about much, not understood much. Many of us know that the Father has ordained with his power 2/3 of all the angels he created to protect us 24 hours a day. But it is not spoken of often, not mentioned much. And I suspect that if we knew on any given day the number of fiery flames of hell shot at us by the fallen angels of Satan, especially through accusations and tongues that are being used by him in the church and outside of the church, and the number of times those fiery darts of Satan were extinguished by the angels of God, all be in a greater state of praise to our Father than we are at present. Because those angels, our angels, the angels that God has provided for us, are extinguishing those fiery darts coming against our souls and faith. That's why if we wear that breastplate of armor, they will bounce off. But if not, the angels are there to protect us when we don't, if we would only be aware of the mighty work of God for our lives. Each one of us can recall numerous times we have escaped from difficulty and truly did not know how we escaped. And that was the time that I expressed to you when I was ready to step off of that high cement and go down to the street, that I was lifted up from there onto the walk again. And that car that came by me literally breezed right past me, almost touching me to an umpteenth degree, but had not. Angels, I believe, picked me up from that destruction. That's the time I recall the most from danger. And I'm sure that I was kept back from danger multitudes of times, but didn't even realize that it was so, until one day when I stand before the Lord and he's going to show me, like a movie film in the past that has been recorded, all the things that could have happened that did not. And the same is true of you. So we have escaped from difficulty truly and did not know how we escaped, or even knew or realized we did. So I suggest we look to God and say, thank you, Father, for your loving care through your angels. Thank you, Lord, that you care so much for us, that 2/3 of the angels have been sent to help us. And you have also sent ministering angels besides archangels to minister to those that are heir of salvation. Thank you for your love and your kindness toward us to send your son, Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, to save our souls from death and destruction and into eternal life. Thank you that now the door to more and more evangelism in Israel is going to take its projected position, prophesied as water ready to cleanse multitudes of Jews who did not believe on the Messiah, Christ, Yeshua. And will now, through prophetic utterance of warfare and multitudes of destruction that's going to take place, will finally find out the truth and be led into the arms of the true Messiah, their Messiah, your Messiah, and my Messiah. The time has arrived. Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. Become a student of this. We're there. Let your eyes be open to the truth. Let your ears be open to hear. God is speaking to us clearly. Things is at hand. Now, can you visualize the spiritual realm more and how God has been working in it from the foundations of this earth? And there's so much more. We can talk on and on and on about it, but there's so much more. Can you see these billions, possibly trillions of spiritual beings, the angels of God working for you? These obedient beings move and act according to the word of God. So if we say in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, I call forth protection over certain situations or a certain situation, the angels go to work immediately, carrying forth your command through Jesus to its conclusion in accordance with the word of God. That's why it's so important to know the word of God. Absolutely imperative at this time to know the word of God. That's why we are on Omega Radio proclaiming the word of God. But what about you? Will you help us to reach every nation? Because we are speaking to all the nations of the world right now through Omega Radio. Will you help us to reach these nations on the earth this very moment? You know, the Lord said they all matter in the last days. They're all going to hear the word before he comes. Will you help us to get this done? The time is short. And I am so happy to ask you to do this, because for $20, your gift donation being sent to us, I will in return send you my book, Deliverance. It will help you break strongholds and the power of the devil in your life and others that you know and love, even in prayer, if you can't go to them in a physical manner. The reviews from this book is good. And it will help you, and I will send it to you as a gift. Vincent Xavier, IER, send your $20 donation to P.O. Box 100, Pastor Vincent Xavier, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722, DECATUR, Arkansas, 72722. May that which you heard today help you. I pray, God, that you will send for my book. And I pray, God, that you will be part of this help in what we're doing in the earth today through Omega Radio Network. Thank you. God bless you. May you be led perfectly today.